You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to a Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. 50-degree day in Eastern Iowa and enjoying every bit of it. Hope you are as well. Mark Dukes alongside Buttons today. Buttons back in the studio doing his most valuable player things. Appreciate that, Buttons. How are you today, my man?
I'm good. I feel like I'm spending more time in here than I am actually at my own desk.
Yeah, this week, third time we were without Scott Unash, who called the 1A class, Class 1A state championship game just a short time ago, in which Montezuma defeated North Lynn 44-41. Good call there by Scott Unash once again. Buttons, I feel like today's show is like a buffet. I mean, there's so many appetizing items, so many different variations. Do you dive right in, put a little bit of that, this, a little bit of that on your plate? Hope you have room for seconds. I mean, I wish you could see my notepad here because it is full of all kinds of different things, and we're going to get to as much as possible. But Buttons, I'm not a buffet guy. You tend to overeat there, right?
Right. You just never feel good after a buffet. It's a good idea in concept, and then you actually get there, and it's not the best.
Well, hopefully you folks feel a little bit better about our buffet today. A lot of juicy items, that's for sure. I want to start, Buttons, in college basketball, because already we have so many different storylines to talk about. And it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We've got Iowa women coming up in the Big Ten semifinals in about 15 minutes. But right now, the Big Ten men's basketball tournament continuing. About 3 minutes, a little over 3 minutes left. Ohio State, the fifth seed, leading number four seed Purdue, 70-66. But it was that first game today in which Michigan stiff-armed Maryland and got a 79-66 win. And that really wasn't the storyline. The storyline was, I don't know what, it wasn't a scuffle. It was an argument between Juwan Howard, the Michigan coach, and Maryland coach Mark Turgeon. And I've come to learn that this goes back to the first two games that these two teams played during the regular season. Some kind of issue between the two coaches, the two clubs. Something was said in the second half, whether it was Mark Turgeon precipitating it or whatever, but Juwan Howard tried to get at Mark Turgeon. If you've seen the videos, you know what I'm talking about. Had to be restrained by his players and assistant coaches. Got a double technical foul and was kicked out of the game. In the post game, Turgeon said, acknowledged that this had been brewing from the first two games. And whatever was said, Turgeon said, he just said, don't talk to me. Something along those lines. Juwan Howard claims that Turgeon kind of charged him. And he was going to defend himself and his players. Juwan Howard has since apologized to his team, but not to Turgeon or anyone else. And I'm curious what your reaction was. And folks out there, 319-366-1600, because I don't know Juwan Howard, but just from observing him, he seems like a fairly mild-mannered guy. And something ticked him off, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's uncalled for, but at the same time, I can understand that tensions are running high. But at the end of the day, we have to look at it and say, you know, it's an important basketball game, but is it that important?
Well, I think it's very important to these teams. I mean, when you step on the floor, you want to be competitive, and that's just what these players are doing right now. But some folks wondered whether this was a suspendable offense, if the Big Ten might suspend Juwan Howard. You know, what's worse, what he did or what Fran McCaffrey did, throwing a chair or slamming a chair, what have you, what Greg Gard said about officials? He didn't get any penalty. Perhaps they'll let this pass, but it's clearly a sticky situation between Maryland and Michigan, and we'll see what happens, if anything, to Juwan Howard. But he was clearly exercised, and without knowing what was said to him, whether it was offensive, what have you, I don't know. Turgeon claims that all he said was, "Don't talk to me," or "I don't need to talk to you," something like that. That doesn't seem like that would provoke that huge of a response from Juwan Howard. So I think the truth pretty much lies in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, it does. And one of the things that I look at is, you at one point are representing the school, representing the college, in those arenas. So there had to be something more there than just what was said.
More Big Ten action. They're coming down to the wire here in Indianapolis in the Ohio State-Purdue game. Right now, Ohio State clinging to a 2-point lead with about a minute left in the game. We'll bring you updates on that. Still to come, Illinois and Rutgers, and then the nightcap, the Iowa Hawkeyes facing Wisconsin for the third time. And we'll go over that game with Tom Kakert at the bottom of the hour. Tom from Hawkeye Report, and assuming he's on site in Indianapolis. And you'd be encouraged to visit the poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye. How many games will Iowa play at the Big Ten tournament? Will it be one, two, or three? You have a feeling, Buttons.
They will at least get to two, but tonight, if Joe Wieskamp doesn't come back into the game, it's going to be a hard-fought battle with Wisconsin.
Well, I think it will either way.
Right.
Wisconsin kind of learned a few things from having been beaten in Madison by the Hawkeyes, and gave Iowa a tremendous game in that last one. So we'll get an update, hopefully, about Joe Wieskamp. He's been seen in pictures and video in practices, in the Iowa practices. And whether it's just light shooting or he's a full participant, we don't know, and perhaps will not know until game time. Other college basketball, some troubling news. The ACC tournament is a mess on the men's side. Yesterday, Duke had to pull out because of a COVID-19 positive test and ended its season. And now the Virginia-Georgia Tech game scheduled tonight has been canceled due to a positive in the Virginia camp. And in addition, in the Big 12 tournament, Kansas is coming up with a positive test, and its game against Texas has been canceled, and Kansas is out of the Big 12 tournament. Now, what this means for the NCAA tournament in terms of Kansas and Virginia and others, I'm unclear. The NCAA tournament begins in 6 days, and what the protocols are, I know what they are in the Big Ten. I think it's 17 days. That you have to be, a player has to sit out. I'm anxious to learn more about this, but kind of a tumultuous day in that regard, Buttons.
Yeah, it really is. And this is, I'm sorry to say this is unprecedented at this time. I mean, I've been following on Twitter all day and for the past week, and it's worrisome seeing these teams drop out of this of these tournaments. And they're good teams. And I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the coaches. It's just an awful time. And if these cases come back as a false positive at the end of the day, it makes you feel even worse.
As it did in the case of Northern Iowa
right.
in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. I would hasten to say, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb, that these are not going to be the last cases of COVID-19. I hope I'm wrong about that, but really a mess in the ACC and throwing a wrench into the Big 12 men's tournament with Kansas going out. Speaking of the Big 12 on the women's side, a heck of a game earlier today by the Iowa State Cyclones, the number 4 seed in the tournament, taking on 5th seeded Texas. Went down to the wire, literally. Actually, it went into overtime, and Texas pulled out an 84-82 victory over Iowa State. Highly entertaining, and a tough one to lose for Iowa State. As I mentioned, just a couple minutes, the Iowa women will be on the floor against Michigan State in the Big Ten women's semifinals. And the winner of that game will play Maryland for the conference championship, at least the tournament championship, coming up tomorrow. So good luck to Lisa Bluder and her team there. By the way, more tournament action tonight on the KGYM radio airwaves, 7:15. We'll have Oregon State and Oregon, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. And I think this is a good time to remind you that the KGYM Bracket Challenge is on again. Beginning after the selections are made on Sunday and continuing until the first tip of the tournament, excluding the first four games, you can go to kgymradio.com and enter the Bracket Challenge. One sheet of integrity per person, and the winner at the very end will receive $500 in this challenge presented by Imon Communications. This always draws a tremendous number of entries. It's very simple to follow. You can go to kgymradio.com. It's at the top of our website, and you can learn more about that. You're going to need a password, and that password is HOOPS with a capital H. So we will be reminding you of that on Monday as we reconvene here on the Gym Class. Let's give you a couple updates. Other sports, the Players' Championship being contested in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Always, they say it's the fifth major. I don't believe that, but nevertheless, it's a big tournament, attracts so many big names. Cedar Rapidity and Zach Johnson on the course early today, and made a surge, shot a 400 par 68, moved up more than 60 spots, and he will play the weekend, currently tied for 35th place at 1 under par for the tournament. And right now, Lee Westwood, I think Lee Westwood's nearly 50 years old and on a roll. He's currently the leader at 8 under par through 15 holes. He's got a 1-stroke lead over Chris Kirk, Sung J.M., Sergio Garcia, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Very interestingly, that the field is tremendously bunched. I mentioned the leader at 8 under, the cut right now at even. So really anybody that gets in the weekend, unless Westwood or somebody goes off and, you know, widens the gap, almost everybody is going to be in contention. They're also conducting the National Wrestling Coaches Association Division III Championships at the Extreme Arena in Coralville. Of course, the NCAA decided not to have, or at least sponsor, that Division III event. So the Coaches Association and others stepped forward and decided to conduct it. So right now, two rounds are in, at least close to two rounds in that tournament. And Wartburg doing extremely well as it, last I looked, had 17 victories and 17 bonus point matches. It has just suffered its first loss of the day at 184 pounds. But notable for locals and Eastern Iowans, Wartburg's 174-pound Kyle Briggs out of Cedar Rapids Jefferson has had two matches, and they have lasted a total of 26 seconds. He had a pin in 10 seconds, and he had a pin in 16 seconds. A remarkable start for Kyle Briggs and the Wartburg Knights. Coe and Loris also doing well, and we'll bring you updates there as they come in. Quarterfinal scheduled tonight at the Extreme Arena, fans allowed. Social distancing, masking, what have you. So there's just a couple of updates there. 3:20 on the Gym Class, Mark Dukes and Buttons with you today. Scott Unash en route back from the Boys State Basketball Tournament, where he called Montezuma's 44-41 victory over North Lynn in the 1A class, Class 1A State Championship game. North Lynn with his third runner-up finish to go with the state title in the last 4 years. And I believe the Lynx only lose one player. So you haven't heard the last of North Lynn. And but a terrific year there for North Lynn and, of course, for Montezuma. State championships are few and far between many places, and you got to embrace them. Right now, 9.6 seconds left. Ohio State and Purdue locked up 72-72. More March Madness without question, Buttons.
Oh, yeah. And right now in the studio, the the University of Iowa women are playing. They just kicked off with 9 minutes in the first quarter. And look at that. They just got 2 points. They are an amazing team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a very good team. I mean, it's going to be a hard matchup to beat Maryland should that matchup come about. But you and I were talking before the show. You've got Caitlin Clark, an All-America, as a freshman, doing continuous wonderful things. Monica Zanano with 38 points two games ago. And then you throw in a player, Gabby Marshall, out of Cincinnati, and she was unconscious yesterday. Not literally, but in a tremendous zone. So, I mean, I think you mentioned what Iowa only had four players score.
Right. I'm looking at this list. It looks like Iowa only had four players score, and three of them were up above 20 points. I mean, Gabby Marshall had 27 on the day. That's just outstanding.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on anything. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. He'll fill us in on what he knows previewing the Iowa-Wisconsin game coming up tonight. Real small nugget here, but I wanted to throw it out because I posted it on Facebook and Twitter, but a woman in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, bowled a state record. I know it's not bowling night in America, okay, but Brooke Post bowled a state record, women's record, 857 series at Lancer Lanes last night. Congratulations to Brooke. You don't know how hard that is to do for a man or a woman. 857 series, games of 279, 288, and 290. Buttons, that means in three games, she had only three non-strikes.
Wow. That is outstanding.
33 out of 36 four strikes. And congratulations to Brooke. I thought it very worthy of mentioning on our local program. State record, 857 for Brooke Post. And congratulations. You could bowl for the Rusty Nails anytime, Brooke, if it were a co-ed league, which it's not. 324 in the gym class. They're going to overtime in Indianapolis. Ohio State and Purdue tied at 72 apiece earlier today. Michigan advancing with a 79-66 victory. And coming up, Illinois and Rutgers after this particular game. Now, this may push Iowa's start time back a bit, scheduled around 8 o'clock tonight, I think. But we'll see what happens here.
I think they're saying 8:30 now.
Is that right?
Yep, I think it's what I saw from the school was 8:30.
Sounds good. 8:30 start for Iowa and Wisconsin right now. If you need to get a nap in, go ahead. I think I'll be fine, but we shall see about that. This game isn't over yet anyway, so we'll keep you up to date on the Iowa women and Michigan State in the Big Ten semifinals. I want to touch on one other story, and it's really resonating for Iowa fans. Buttons, I don't know if you saw this, but Nebraska's football program.
Oh, yeah.
4 years ago, January 2016, I decided to enter an agreement to play a home-and-home series with Oklahoma. Of course, both when they were in the Big Eight, it was a storied game each and every year. And they did this because they want to commemorate what was then called the Game of the Century in 1971. This 2021 season would be marked the 50th anniversary. And I haven't found a reason, but Nebraska's seeking to pull out of this game.
They did release a statement.
Excuse me?
They did release a statement not too long ago.
Do you have details?
I do. Here is the statement from Athletic Director Bill Moose. The University of Nebraska is looking forward to playing Oklahoma in Norman on September 18th. Due to the economic devastation caused by the COVID-19 pandemic to the Huskers, athletics, and the local community, our administration did explore the possibility of adding an eighth home game this fall. That option would have helped us mitigate cost-cutting measures and provide a much-needed boost to our local economy. Ultimately, the decision was made to move forward with our game at Oklahoma in 2021. We have the utmost respect for the University of Oklahoma and the storied rivalry, and I know our fans have been excited about this series for a long time. Go Big Red.
So they, Nebraska stances that they're going to move forward with it, huh?
And that was 5 hours after the original story broke.
Okay. All right. I'd like to see that game go off, and we'll trust Bill Moose on that, at least for now. But we will follow the story and give you any updates in that regard. But I think it'd be really cool if Oklahoma and Nebraska got together again. Nebraska isn't nowhere near the program it used to be. Oklahoma is, but that should be immaterial. I think it'd be a natural in the game. Right now, Ohio State with a 4-point lead over Purdue in overtime. 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in that overtime. We'll see who advances there. Well, Buttons, we've reached the bottom of the hour. I think it's time to contact Tom Kakert and dive into tonight's Iowa-Wisconsin game and other Hawkeye matters with Tom. Let's do that right after this.
The early bird will get much more than the worm this month at IMON. If you're one of the first 50 people to switch to IMON's 100 megabit internet, you'll also receive a free Amazon Fire Stick. That's right, not only will you get fast, reliable internet service for only $57 per month, you'll also get superior 24/7 customer support and a free Amazon Fire Stick if you're one of the first 50 customers to sign up. Upgrade your streaming before the sun starts beaming this spring with IMON's internet service and your free Amazon Fire Stick. Sign up today at go.imon.net/radio.
New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
One of the things that's great about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Same game parlay bets allow you to combine more traditional markets like the money line and the point spread with different props such as the first basket score, player points, player rebounds, the list goes on and on. So whether you are new to FanDuel or use the app every day, check out NBA Same Game Parlays daily. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just place a bet and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code KUHN at signup. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Save on your next project with 11% off everything. Now at Menards. DuraClean is an interior paint and primer in one that offers a washable, scrubbable, and stain-resistant finish. Pick up a gallon of flat paint today for only $19.98 after 11% rebate. Save with 11% off everything. Now at Menards. Good through Saturday, March 13th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to the gym class right here on KGYM 331. Mark Dukes joining you today alongside Buttons. Scott Unash will rejoin the program and steer the ship beginning on Monday, as we will visit at that time with Gazette sports columnist Mike Halas. We'll have the Big Ten tournament in the books, and we'll have NCAA brackets by that time. Coming up tonight, Iowa and Wisconsin, a game three. In a very short period of time. That's the nightcap of the Big Ten tournament. Right now, Ohio State 83, Purdue 76 with a minute left in that game in overtime. In Indianapolis is Tom Kakert of Hawkeye Report. Good afternoon, Tom. How's things?
Things are good. Just getting ready to head down to the arena here in a few minutes after we wrap up.
Sounds good. I want to clear up one thing. Are you the guy that orders fish in a steakhouse?
No, that's not happening.
I must have you mistaken or misread something, but I thought that was a funny exchange yesterday. My most frequent question, Tom, and I know that hopefully some update right now is about Joe Wieskamp, and we've seen pictures and audio of him participating in practice, whether it's a light shooting session or full go. Do we have any additional information about his availability tonight?
We do not, other than, you know, various little hints. And I always wonder, when they involve Jordan Bohannon, I wonder if he's always trying to do a head fake on us just because he likes to kind of have some fun on social media. So I'm just gonna wait and see. I think there's a possibility Joe plays, but I earlier in the week it seemed pretty pessimistic from Fran that he was gonna play. He wasn't practicing on Tuesday. I'd heard some stuff earlier on that Fran was like, you know what, it might not be wise to have him play, just kind of let him rest up a little bit and get ready for the bigger fish to fry, if you will, the NCAA tournament. So we'll see. Joe's pretty persuasive sometimes, and he heals quickly. So I think there's a possibility he could play, but I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, Tom, the bigger carrot is next week, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote something the other day about just, like, this weekend, it's pretty unlikely that Iowa's going to get to a one, and it's pretty unlikely that Iowa's going to fall to a three. They're kind of at the two, and they're kind of stuck into either being in probably Baylor or Gonzaga's bracket. So just because there'll be two number ones from the Big Ten. So I don't know what the upside is here, other than getting Joe out there and getting him playing again. And you do have plenty of time to get him healed up and ready to go, because you won't play again until at the earliest a week from today. And maybe, you know, even it might not play until Saturday. So I know they want to win this, and I know they want to play some more games. And you know, Luka talked this week about that they've got 9 more games that they want to play. And that's 3 this weekend and then 6 in the NCAA tournament.
Did you pack for 28 days or not?
No, I'm going back and forth. So once we get done here, I'll go back home. Thankfully, you know, it's not that far to go.
Yeah. The Wisconsin, the opponent tonight, having defeated Penn State narrowly. Is this a good thing or not, or does it really matter?
I don't know that it matters. All these teams are so familiar with each other and so well scouted that I think the only thing that's interesting tonight is that it seemed like, well, Greg Gard was pretty angry after the game about the officiating, and I wonder how chippy this is going to be, and just something to look out for. If it seems like it's going Wisconsin's way in terms of the officiating, or this seems kind of like they're making things, you know, making it better for Wisconsin this time or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised to see Fran get a little upset about it.
Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com joining us on the Gym Class today at 3:36. He is in Indianapolis to cover the Hawkeyes tonight against Wisconsin. What are you looking at in terms of, let's keep Wieskamp on the floor and take him off the floor. What are you looking at in terms of matchups? What may transpire tonight?
You know, the key matchups, I think, are Bohannon going against Trice. I thought Jordan did really well against Trice last time. Trice got going a little bit late, but Jordan was more aggressive going to the hole against him, got him in some foul trouble. I thought that was important. You know, Lucas had his way with Reavers and Potter both times this year. So I'm kind of curious if they try some things different, because they have not really doubled a whole lot on Luka. And if they do that again, Luka's probably going to have another big game.
I don't know. Micah Potter's might have played his best 2 games against Iowa. He's been tough.
Yeah, he's a challenging player because he can step out and shoot threes. They were running that one set in the last game, the game last Sunday, where they would just kind of screen and he would pop back out to the top of the key, and he was open a lot and hit a lot of those shots. So that's a guy who's really skilled and he can make a lot of plays. So they're going to have to get on him, I think, a little bit more out there in the top of the key.
I know you weren't in the building, but I'm sure you watched as Juwan Howard got kicked out of the game earlier today against Maryland. What'd you make of that?
It was interesting because the only thing I knew initially was I saw it, and then I saw some of the stuff on social media that was suggesting that maybe it was about the Fab Five or something, or Turgeon said something kind of derogatory about the Fab Five, but it turned out that wasn't true. So, you know, there's just, it was weird. Juwan looked like he was ready to go. He was ready to throw down with Turgeon. I'm not sure Turgeon would want any part of that.
No, I don't think many people would, but it seemed out of character for Juwan Howard. And I think we've come to learn that there's a little bit of a history between these two teams dating back to the the two games that were played during the regular season. Something about a banner. Maybe Michigan has a few more than Rutgers. I don't know. But there's something there, obviously.
Yeah, there's something going on there. That doesn't come out of the blue just about, you know, talk, don't say anything to me or whatever it was that Turgeon said and Juwan took. It just seemed odd.
Earlier this week, Tom, and I hesitate to bring it up and regurgitate it, but it was a heavy topic of conversation, and I refer to the Devin Marble response to a tweet and his disdain for the Iowa basketball program in lieu of the fact that Iowa retired Luka Garza's number. Some folks say it didn't have anything to do with the retirement. Well, if it didn't, what did they have to do with? What'd you think of that whole round of things that basically lasted 24 hours?
Yeah, it was, I guess maybe the word would be unfortunate because it was kind of out of character for Devin to speak out in that manner. It just kind of not who I've known him to be. He's kind of been pretty laid back and not that outspoken, but, you know, he's probably got legitimate concerns just about how he thinks his father was honored versus, you know, other people have been honored over the years. So, you know, I thought it was important for Gary Barta to come out the next day and say something because it's more his lane than it is Fran's lane. I know Dev's teammates, a couple of them that I've talked to privately, they were kind of surprised because they hadn't heard any of this before. And they're like, wow, Dev's really upset about this. And they still think the world of him. But they were just, I think it'll get fixed. I hope it does. But I don't know how Gary's going to fix it. I don't know that there's a real path there. But I think Fran's going to have to kind of play a role in it because, and maybe he doesn't want to do that, but I think he's going to have to.
Well, in his comments, Gary Barta said that continually Roy Marble and Chuck Darling and Murray Weir, those are the three names that came up in terms of jersey or number of retirements. And I think part of the problem here, Tom, and correct me if I'm wrong, is I don't know that there's established criteria, at least in the basketball program, for retiring a number or a jersey. Or is there?
There isn't really one. And that's the thing. With football, there's a certain criteria. It's, you know, consensus All-American two times in your career, College Football Hall of Fame, those sorts of things that get you onto that wall at Kinnick. And that's why it's such an exclusive company there, because it's hard to get there. With basketball, it's not, there's just no clear thing. You know, you had the Fabulous Five, you had, you know, obviously Chris Street and things of that nature, but it's just not there's no criteria. And I think that's maybe one of the things that they need to do. And here's the other thing. They talked about doing that Wall of Fame at Carver, and that was 6+ years ago, and it hasn't happened yet. And that's, you know, something that Gary's got to get on and get put together.
Quite clearly, that's the case. And he blamed it on the fact that renovations have not been done to the concourse yet. And I thought that was fairly lame. But at any rate, the circumstances change over the years. I mean, you're never going to think about retiring, you know, a whole starting five like they did back in the 1950s with Sharm Sherman and that whole group. So, you know, I just think there needs to be a lot more clarification and avoid the situations like what dusted up with Devin Marble.
I agree. Agree completely.
Well, I want to give you an opportunity to answer a poll question today, Tom. And
sure.
That is, how many games will Iowa play or you cover at the Big Ten tournament? Will it be one, two, or three?
I'm going to go with two. I think Illinois might get them, but I think they're going to win tonight. But I think Illinois is going to be a tough. They're playing as well as anybody in the country right now.
Yeah, Illinois is my pick to win the tournament. Wouldn't be surprised in the least if Iowa could defeat Illinois, especially if Wieskamp is able to go maybe 20, 25 minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity, Tom, to talk about the Iowa women. Lisa Bluder continues to do a terrific job. I don't have an update on the score right now, but playing Michigan State in the Big Ten semifinals and continually, I mean, she's got an All-America. She's got a terrific center. She's got other players. Last night, Gabby Marshall, terrific. Continually, she is doing a terrific job.
Yeah, she is. And this was a nice run and a big win last night over Rutgers and Steve Vivian Stringer to make it to the semifinals. And then you have a little bit of an upset with Michigan State winning. So you've got a pass now for Iowa to get to the Big Ten championship game where they face Maryland. So that would be a tough one with number one Maryland. That'll be a challenge, but Lisa just does a phenomenal job. I mean, and let's also give some credit to Jan Jensen for the work she does with the post players. You know, you just look at them over the years, most recently with Megan Gustafson and now with Susano. She's just consistently develops post players and makes them into all Big Ten players.
All right, Tom, we'll let you get to the arena. And hopefully, by the way, 87-78, Ohio State has defeated Purdue in overtime. So at least it didn't go a second overtime, and you're not going to start close to the 10 o'clock news, right?
Yeah, we're going to get that Illinois game in before this one, and hopefully that doesn't drag on too much.
There you go. Tom, enjoy your stay. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Tom Caker, HawkeyeReport.com, with some information on tonight's Iowa-Wisconsin game, comments on other matters. And I've come to learn it's 8:30, I guess, that Iowa is going to start. Is that right, Buttons?
I believe so. It is 8:30. It was scheduled for 8 o'clock originally. So my sports update is now incorrect.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully, Illinois and Rutgers don't go to overtime as well. So let's take another break here, Buttons, and come back and have more of the gym class right here on KGYM.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Experience the benefit of Blue with a Medicare supplement plan from Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. With our plans, you'll enjoy nationwide access to care, optional dental, vision, and hearing coverage, and more. Call 1-888-616-8927 or go online to wellmark.com/Medicare plans. You may even qualify for a special household discount. This is the benefit of Blue. Wellmark Blue Dental product available to Iowa residents only. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare supplement insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Well, as the world's blandest man, the idea of insurance made for me is almost riveting.
Big fan of beige?
I find other neutrals too unpredictable.
That's cool. Liberty Mutual's just here to protect your home with customized insurance.
And here we've got my doorstop collection.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Sports is using technology to take the fan experience to the next level. When it comes to hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. Coming up on 3:50 on this Friday, end of the week show. Hopefully you'll stay tuned for the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, with updates, commentary, guests, and much, much more. That show from 4 to 6. An update at the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament, where Iowa is taking on Michigan State in the semifinals. Right now, that game locked up in a 33-33 tie. So we will update you there, and I'm sure Todd and Alex will as well. As mentioned in the Big Ten Men's Tournament, we've got Michigan defeating Maryland earlier today and Ohio State just now defeating Purdue in overtime. Coming up next is Illinois and Rutgers, and then that Iowa-Wisconsin game at around 8:30. At least that's what we know right now. So one last story I wanted to get to, Buttons, as we close today's program, is that Tom Brady has re-upped with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is just a small part of our buffet today, but I think an important one, because this guy's 47 years old, and he's signed a 4-year extension, which is a little misleading because they're going to a couple voidable years in his contract. Basically, this is taking him through the 2022 season. Again, he's 47. The oldest player in NFL history is a guy that I unfortunately remember, and that was George Blanda, the quarterback and kicker for the Oakland Raiders. He played till he was 48 years old. And clearly Brady, having won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, has not shown any signs of letting up. Now, Buttons, you're nowhere near 47 years old. Can you imagine playing in the NFL this long?
No. Well, Tom Brady is 43 right now.
43.
He's going to be 47 by the time his contract is up.
Thank you for that correction.
But no, I just can't imagine being 47 and still playing that rough of a game.
Well, he's showing no signs of letting up, that's for sure. And yeah, when I wrote down age 47, that would mean that he would complete that 4-year contract. So, you know, whether he reaches George Blanda's record of playing until he's 48 years old remains to be seen. But the way he's going right now is fairly remarkable. And Tampa Bay is going to be a team to be reckoned with again next year, no doubt about that. And I found it kind of humorous that it was the same day that Cam Newton signed a contract with Brady's old team, the New England Patriots. So maybe a little salt in the wound, maybe coincidence. I don't know there. excuse me. I want to take a minute to congratulate one of our most avid listeners, and that's Cajun Troy. And we hear from her frequently. She's opinionated. She's smart. And she just sent a message on the text line, wanted to share that she is now 20 years cancer-free, and an emotional, joyful day. And we want to send out our congratulations, Troy, to you and many, many more good years of health and continued listening to the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Thanks for being a friend these years and looking forward to many more, Troy. Really proud of you. And I like the picture of that margarita she sent, too.
That does look amazing. What time is it? Oh, I got a few more hours.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to come to a close here very soon. But it's been a fun show. It's been a packed show. And I know Todd and Alex feel the same way about their show. They've got another hour to deal with a lot of these subjects. But it's just been a jam-packed day. And if you missed any of it, the podcast will be up shortly after we conclude here. But so much more to come tonight. We've been talking a lot about the Big Ten men's basketball tournament and the Division III wrestling going on in Coralville at the Extreme Arena. Still a chance for you to get down there either tonight or tomorrow and support these Division III athletes that were denied at least an NCAA shot, but the Wrestling Coaches Association has gladly stepped in and allowed these kids to have a chance to compete for national titles. And if you missed it earlier, kind of remarkable, Cedar Rapide and Kyle Briggs with two pins in 10 seconds and 16 seconds to advance to tonight's quarterfinals. Also, Zach Johnson shooting a 400 par 68 earlier today in the Players' Championship after stumbling to a 75 in the first round. He is comfortably inside the cut. And right now, that cut is at even par and quite remarkably a very bunched field. And right now a tie for the lead, Lee Westwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick young enough to be Westwood's son, but nevertheless, both at -8, still on the golf course. And they are one ahead of Chris Kirk. And then there is a slug of players at -6. So that'll be a fun conclusion on Sunday in Florida. So, and a reminder to check out our bracket challenge at kgymradio.com. Come Sunday night, we will have the selection show from 5 to 7, I believe it is, Buttons.
Yep.
On Sunday night, and we'll see where Iowa's headed, hopefully where Drake is headed, whether we'll be in one of those first four games or a little bit better. It depends on basically what happens in other conference tournaments, and hopefully the best for Drake, because I think the Bulldogs certainly deserve a spot in the field. An update from Indianapolis, where Iowa and Michigan State are tangling. Iowa, the 6th seed, Michigan State, the 7th seed. Closing in on the end of the first half, Iowa holding a 39-38 lead after Michigan State just made a 3-point goal. So back and forth game there. I think Michigan State beat Iowa the first go around, but we'll keep you updated on that through the next 2 hours of local programming. Buttons, I wanted to thank you for the third time this week for sitting in with me, as Scott Unash did another brilliant job covering the Boys State basketball tournament. Appreciate that, Buttons.
Of course, and I'll be back in a couple weeks when Scott's gone again.
Yes, indeed. And that'll be just fine. He deserves a bit of a break.
Yes, he does.
He will be back on Monday, and at that time we'll talk with Mike Halas about the Big Ten basketball tournament, and the NCAA tournament brackets will be out. So should be a fun-filled segment with Mike come Monday. We'll talk to you then on the Gym Class.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired sports commentator Dick Vitale.